All right, now let me get my my secondary notebook out here.
Because
I've taken some notes today, Jason Snell, about the movie that we watched. I've got a brand new notebook that I broke out for The Terminator today.
It is the year 2029, the far-off future.
That's how it starts. Should we do it in a regular fashion and I tell you what I thought I knew about this movie before I watched it?
Let's do it.
I'll be back. I expected that to be in here somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I believed that the Terminator was a robot / cyborg / alien that came to destroy the Earth.
That's a lot of things.
Well, I was thinking it's all of those things. Like, it is an alien, it's from another planet, but it's like a robot cyborg thing.
Oh, you know? Okay. Cyborg. John Syracuse would tell you cyborg is not a robot.
Yes. I believe that the Terminator came to destroy the Earth. I knew that it stole somebody's clothes at one point, maybe a motorbike, and maybe their skin. I wasn't sure about that. Like, I wasn't sure if it had its own skin, the Terminator.
Interesting.
I believed that in this movie, the Terminator found a heart of gold and saves the day from some other big bad.
You're mixing up. This is the we have a prelude to this last week when we talked about this movie, which is I think a lot of your knowledge of the Terminator comes from Terminator 2.
It definitely does, because this doesn't happen in this movie.
No.
And the Terminator action figure thing that I had looked not like this Terminator. And like, it was the one with like all of the face melted off and you see all of the metal. I think it's Terminator 2 Terminator.
Yeah.
Because there was no Hasta La Vista baby either.
No, that's Terminator 2.
And that's right. What my action figure would say, because it was one that made sounds.
Yep.
So it was, I'm definitely, so the movie that I thought that I'd seen as a kid, or that that's I had Terminator seen as a kid 2. But didn't remember, Terminator 2, because I was also
was a
waiting
huge
for
hit.
Him helping out a child, and I now know who that child was, and turns out, not this.
No, this is, hey, many people, including me, experienced Terminator 2 having not seen the Terminator. I didn't see the Terminator until much after I saw Terminator 2, but because that was a huge summer blockbuster hit, but this much more moderately priced, moderately budgeted film from 1984 is where it all started.
So, would... Actually, first, is this one of your favorite movies?
No. I've seen it a few times, and I like it. I also think it's worth seeing if you've seen or plan to see Terminator 2. I think it's a very interesting film. And kind of a classic, but it's not one of my personal favorites.
So would you... I think it's best to not hide these things, you know? Like, for me to just get it out in the open about how I feel about this movie. And then we can talk about it.
Let it out, Mike.
Didn't like this one, Jason.
Really?
Didn't like it at all. I really, really just did not enjoy this movie. The music is horrific. Like, so bad. It sounds like it was made on, like, a Casio keyboard. It's terrible.
You know, there is some good music in here, but most of it is terrible.
Yeah, I may have not noticed the good stuff, right, because it was good, but I really noticed the bad stuff because it was horrific.
It is of its time, and I think my argument would be in its time, it wasn't very good.
I mean, because I like
feel differently
music.
About it, but
like, think of all of the movies we've seen. They're all 80s movies, and I've not criticized it.
You're thinking about 80s pop music in movies. This is 80s soundtrack synth music, where we were just talking about this on The Incomparable for Castle in the Sky, which is from 1982, something like that, 1986. It's a early to mid 80s movie, and it's got a few moments of that same thing where it's like deedle, 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 and you're like, really? Are we playing a really bad video game all of a sudden? Like, I have one point in my notes for the Terminator, basically like, this is terrible action syntho pulse music. Like, I wonder how much better this movie would feel if it was more traditionally scored than it is. Like, Terminator 2 is more traditionally scored.
Right, okay.
But there's a lot of synth music here. And, I mean, this is a very 80s movie, too. But, yeah, I think the music is a big problem in it, myself, too.
it looks weird to me, and I don't know why this is. So when I was watching the movie, it felt like a long TV show. And I don't know if it's like, there's a lot of shaky cam in this, which is a peculiar choice. And I don't know if it's maybe like I'm watching some HD reproduction. Like, it definitely was a HD reproduction. I don't know if maybe something is it in there. Yeah. I bought it from iTunes.
Well, it was shot, but it was shot on, was it shot on 35? It might have even been shot on 16mm. It's grainy and dimly lit. And I wouldn't call it a low budget movie, but it's not a blockbuster movie. And Terminator 2 is a big budget action movie, in some ways helped define the modern big budget action set piece kind of film. Because it was so successful and it had the, you know, it had the CGI Terminator and all of these things in it. And this is not, this is a modest budget where, you know, set in 1984, where there's a girl, just a regular girl who discovers that she's part of this catastrophic event in the far future and is being hunted for, as far as she can tell, no reason at all. And so it's dark, and there's cops, and there's a serial killer that's the phone book killer they talk about, that's killing people named Sarah Connor. It's not, if I went through this, if you watch Terminator 2 and then you go back to the Terminator expecting like more of the same, you're like, what? Because Arnold Schwarzenegger's in it, Linda Hamilton's in it, but it's not the same kind of movie at all.
The makeup and special effects aged terribly. I will pick out some things when we go through some of the moments.
Okay.
There are some bad plot holes / common sense problems, which really annoyed me.
Because it's a time travel movie. They're going to be bad plot holes, but common sense.
Nothing to do with time travel, right?
Like, common sense is a good way to put it.
Let the time travel stuff go, because time travel timelines are always full of issues. And just like the whole problem of time travel movies, like, it's just a huge plot mess. Just doesn't matter how it's done. It's always an issue. Like, if you try to think about the timeline.
Why did this human being do this thing? Yes. Nobody would do
that's
that.
That's why thing. I wanted to set like common sense problems.
Yep. That's a great way to put it.
And I think some kind of not good performances throughout.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
All right. So we start off with space war.
Yeah. In the far future, there's a horrible like machine war going on.
And there are models. There are lots of models used here that are space vehicles. Well, this is what I'm considering at this time, space vehicles. But there are Earth vehicles, but they're future vehicles.
Future.
They didn't look good. And this is a problem with HD, right? Like, I can't fault the movie for this.
Well, but, you know, on the big screen, you would have seen everything and more that you saw in HD.
Then they're just terrible. Like,
in the movie theater, yeah.
Works for Star Wars, right? In Star Wars, and I know that it's all different. Like, but in Star Wars, it's the same kind of thing, right? It's just small models that they're using.
Yeah.
But I can be fooled by it. In these, I'm like, this just looks like toys. Like, they do, like, a close-up of these tank tracks, and it just looks like a toy to me. I don't think that looked very good. And then I guess we start off with like the big scene. Naked Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
He falls to the ground. And oh my God, do you see more than I expected to see?
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot more of Arnold Schwarzenegger in this movie than I thought there was going to be, Jason. Nobody prepared me for that.
Give me your clothes.
I saw more Arnie than I expected today. I knew he would be naked. I was not expecting that much of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But you get it. And he got clothes from like some punk kids, which again, another thing. I thought that he got them from someone in a bar. It's just one of those things that has become like pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
Terminator 2. Then another naked person appears.
Yes, Michael Bean shows up as Reese. He gets some 80s clothes of his own.
Yep. I will just mention first name Kyle, because in my notes I refer to him as Kyle a lot, because I checked IMDb.
Yeah.
And like before the characters, you know, because I write my notes, right? And I saw the name Kyle, so I wrote the name Kyle down a lot. But Kyle Reese, he comes and he does not look in as good a shape as Arnie. You know, like he's got scars all over him and stuff, so... Something's gone wrong here with our friend, Mr. Reese. This is where the music is super bad. It begins like being super bad. It's as I said, it sounds like a cheap Casio keyboard, like when Kyle was being chased by the police. Also, at this point, whenever you see Arnie, the music is like this. And it sounds to me like a train running on tracks. If you've ever been under a bridge and a train goes overhead, that's what Arnold Schwarzenegger sounds like, I guess.
Yep, that's his theme. This is also where we meet Sarah Connor, who I just wanted to say, because in my notes I have this, that this is, she looks as 80s as a person could be. She is wearing acid washed Guess jeans. She is the 80s personified here.
And so I guess when we meet Sarah Connor and she's comes into the movie, you realize something's about to happen here. I think we're about 20 minutes in to the film.
Yeah.
And I have literally no idea what's going on.
Right.
And I know this is the, I guess this is the point, but like, I'm like, have I missed something? Like, I have no idea what is happening in this movie. I don't know who or why any of those people are here. You know, like, you kind of get nothing. And then this is the point when, like, you start to see a lot more of the evil intentions of Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he's trying to find someone called Sarah Connor, and he goes to a house and he kills a woman. But it's not the lady that we think it's going to be, right? And then you kind of realize at this point that he is going through the phone book, or, like, he's trying to find Sarah Connor's, and he wants to kill her, right? But unfortunately started off with the wrong person. I found it kind of funny, like, when because Sarah Connors is in the worst diner of all time. Everyone is really horrible there for some reason and wants immediate service, which doesn't happen. I don't know if this really happens anywhere, like everybody's screaming for service all at once. I don't think this is a thing. But her friend comes to get her to show her the news report about someone with the same name being killed. So I don't think that this is a thing. They're like, that you would like, come and look at this. And she's like, this is crazy. I don't think this is like a thing that people would really pay people that much attention to.
Yeah.
And then there are like eight people sitting around the TV screen watching it. It's like, really? Like, this seems like a real thing to kind of hang your hat on. Then there's kind of flashbacks where we then find out that the other guy, the hurt looking guy, he's a fighter isn't a soldier in the space war. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
This is when I talk about bad acting or bad performances. This is one of them. So he is running through these trenches with a comrade, and they're trying to take down this thing, which I can only kind of describe as an AT-AT. Right.
And this is the flash forward. There's a brief flash forward into the future.
And they're throwing these grenades at it, and he throws one and runs away, then his comrade is shot, and then he's kind of just like nonplussed by this. He's like, ooh, and then just carries on. I'm assuming there's some kind of relationship here, like friends at least.
That had to hurt.
It's like, I got stuff to do. No time to waste. And I just found that like a really, because they took enough to go to his face for him to give a face reaction, like a facial reaction to the death of a teammate, like a soldier, but he's like, nah, whatever, I got to get out of here. And then like another one, like he then jumps into a car, and then that person's killed, and he's like, just gets out of the car and leaves. Like he does not care for people getting killed. And then we're back in the modern day again, or the current day, and we go to the police station where we find our police officer who's seen it all. You know, like he doesn't care about any crimes because he's seen all the crimes.
That's right.
This is Lieutenant Traxler. But once it's explained to him, he's never seen a phone book killer before. I love it. He's like, I have no time for crime. I've seen all the crime. But he's hard-nosed, but was concerned about this one. And then our Sarah now is on her own.
Is that Lance Henriksen? I think is that who that is?
That is Paul Winfield. Lance Henriksen is the detective.
It's Paul Winfield and Lance Henriksen are the cops there. Yeah, that's right. Both actually really great actors in little bit parts, good character actors. Mm-hmm. I like the cops. They're totally not prepared for what they're going to get here, but I do like the cops there.
So then Sarah and her housemate and I-seeming best friend, Ginger, to a nightclub.
Technoir, the swingingest nightclub.
Oh, no, we're not at Technoir yet.
Technology theme,
not,
no. Oh, come on. Okay,
not,
fine.
We're not at Technoir.
I'm so excited yet. About Technoir. That is my favorite thing in the whole movie. Okay, go ahead.
Sarah stood up on a date, right? And so she then goes out on her own, and Ginger is going out with her boyfriend, who we're introduced to as a bit of a creep. There was something I wanted to mention about Sarah Connor. Why do they take great pains to try and make her kooky? Like, she talks to the statue when she gets to the diner.
Yeah, you know,
she has a pet lizard.
Okay, so I think what they're trying to do here, given what happens to her, this you can see it. And I will say also, the contrast between that character in this movie and the next movie is breathtaking. Like, the effect of this movie on her in the next movie is one of the things you miss if you haven't seen this movie, is just how much her life changes because of what happens here. But in this, they want her to be the stock, a stock, you know, young woman from an 80s, you know, comedy, basically. They want her to be kooky and she's got a bad job, but she's just a regular girl. That's what they want. They're trying very hard to establish that so that they can, because I really believe James Cameron, the writer and director of this, felt like that was what this movie was a collision of a, you know, murderous robot time travel action movie with an 80s movie, like an 80s teen movie. I think that's what his premise kind of was. And so they really try to sell you on Sarah Connor's quirky life before it gets completely ruined.
Right.
Because yeah, there is a rom-com element here, right? Because, or at least it's not, there's rom, not so much com, but it is that, right? Because she meets Kyle Reese and they have their sort of love story that runs through it a little bit too. So clearly Cameron is trying to have that be part of the storyline here, is like a movie that you've seen before, but the Terminator has come in to ruin it all.
Yeah, I guess. It's just like the lizard thing. I was like, really?
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
Like, there are maybe other ways to do this. I don't know what they are, but like it just seemed like a really strange, just like a really
strange
choice.
All the stuff with the roommate
choice.
Is weird, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Sarah goes out on her own, and she stood up and she's in a pizza place, and she finds out on the TV that there are other Sarah Connors, and she puts two and two together. Like, another Sarah Connors is killed. So she kind of, Connor, I keep calling her Connors. Sarah Connor is killed, and she kind of puts two and two together and works out that she's probably in trouble.
Right.
That there is a strong chance that she is in trouble. But she then leaves the pizza place on her own. Like, she just, she leaves and she starts running, and she's getting like kind of tailed by Reese. She doesn't know at this point, but she thinks it's a problem. So she then ducks into the bar, Technoir, which is a great name for a bar because it's terrible.
It is terrible. It's the tech themed nightclub, the swinging nightclub of Technoir.
And then
it's bad. It's so bad.
But she tries to call the police, has no luck. Mm-hmm. And then we flash back to the apartment, and Terminator has arrived and kills Ginger, thinking that it might be Sarah.
Right.
But then, unfortunately, Sarah calls. She calls the answer machine and gives her location on the answer machine. Now, I have an issue with this, which I'll get back to in a moment, because initially I'm like, okay, I can kind of see this, right? You're in trouble, and you need to say, like, I am here, I'm at this specific place, this is the phone number, please try and find me, like, the police aren't helping me, like, I can't get through to them. Then it kind of goes back to Sarah. She calls the police, she finally gets through. The detective says, stay there, we're sending a police car, they're going to be right there, right? The police are currently scrambling the city trying to find this person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then Arnie is there. How did he get there so quick? Like, all she does,
robotic,
she hangs up the
efficiency?
Phone. She sits down, and he is outside he has arrived at the nightclub, right? Now, we know he doesn't move mega fast. He cannot run quicker than any human, because there are many chase scenes on foot. He may have gotten in a car or some kind of vehicle to get there. But all that would tell me is that Technoir is very close in proximity
to
her apartment. Yeah. So if that's the case, why did she need to be so specific on the phone to Ginger about where this place is?
You know, I would say it's kind of a horror movie trope that's happening here, which is that the bad guy pops up immediately.
Yep.
You left out a couple of things that I wanted to mention, which is when the roommate and her boyfriend are killed, there's a scene where they don't know that the Terminator's there because she's like wearing a Walkman. Is that right?
Yeah.
And it's, I felt like that was the message of like, you're shutting out the world, you kids and your Walkmans. And also when she's doing this, she's making herself like the largest sandwich in
the biggest
history
with like those ants on a log and a big glass of milk.
I don't know what she's making anyway, but she dies and it's very sad. So then Arnold is there and he's going to kill another Sarah Connor because that's what he's been sent back to do.
But Kyle Reese is also there. And just as Arnie is about to put a bullet into Sarah, he pulls out the shotgun that he took from earlier. We find out that he is a good guy because he takes some shots at Arnie. The club clears, but unfortunately many people are caught in the crossfire. So there are many deaths at Tech Noir.
Sorry, Tech Noir.
That's why Tech Noir is no longer a good name for a
nightclub. No longer in business.
Because of the unfortunate.
It came
robot
to be massacre. Known as the Tech Noir killings. So they had to change it. Also, not only does he shoot Arnold, and we basically learn that he's a robot at this point. This is the reveal for people who didn't know what this movie was about.
Yep.
Right, is that he's a cyborg or whatever, and that Kyle Reese is the good guy. But what Kyle says to Sarah here is important for Terminator 2, because he says, "Come with me if you want to live."
Yeah, I wrote that down. I know that line
is then said by Arnold Schwarzenegger as the Terminator in Terminator 2.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Then they make a run for it and. The Terminator, he takes a police car, right? And this is where we find out that he can imitate voices.
Right.
Which makes me wonder why he has the accent that he has. Why did the Terminator settle on that accent?
I think the voice synthesizer was programmed by an Austrian man.
I guess so, right? It's just interesting to me. It's like he can choose any voice. That was the one that he chose. There's nothing wrong with an Austrian accent. It's just like, why
in the
did
future,
they go there?
In the future, robot accents sound Austrian. They merge the robot accent and the Austrian accent.
That must have been it. That must have been where the technology was developed. Because we find out that the machines started a nuclear war. It feels very much like Sneakers to me. They created defense systems. The defense systems realized that humans were the problem, and they wanted everybody dead. And they're going to kill everyone. However, Sarah's future son, this is Kyle Reese, who's come from the future, is explaining all of this.
Yeah.
Sarah's future son will save humanity, and that's why they want her to be killed.
Yeah, this is in my notes, it's just written down as, then he recounts the plot of Terminator 2. Because it's like literally, he's just saying, this is what will happen in Terminator 2. The machines, they'll send somebody back. They're trying to kill your son. It's like, okay, got it. Write that down for later. But this is also when he's giving her the premise about who the Terminator is. That I really like this part because it makes it clear that this is a monster movie that you're actually watching. You're watching like the ultimate monster movie. The line that he says is, it can't be bargained with or reasoned with. It doesn't feel pity or fear. It won't stop until you are dead. So the idea that this is a relentless killing machine, you are its focus. Mm-hmm. We got to run. And that's what the rest of the movie is. And I think a modern movie, a 2017 movie, would get to this in 4 minutes. But in 1984, there's a lot of time spent with, you know, mystery and setup and flavor of like her life and who she is. And you have to get to this point where it's like, okay, this is what this movie is now.
We're like an hour in.
Yeah. A relentless killing machine is going to kill you and we are going to try to stop it. Now let's go. And that's it.
There's a car chase and the cars crash and the Terminator escapes in more mystery, you know, like in more magic. The robot magic that he has, he can escape in a flash.
Movie monster magic, yeah.
This is where Sarah and Reese are arrested, and Sarah is kind of taken into protective custody, and Reese is interviewed, and obviously they don't believe his story, right? Because he sounds like a crazy person.
They're in the police station, and they send a psychologist to talk to her, who's an awful, awful person.
Yep. And he, you know, that he kind of says, oh, I can make my life's work on this man, right? Because he fully believes his what he's saying. We also see at this point Terminator operating on himself, including the where he pulls out an eyeball, which made me I couldn't.
The X-Acto knife to the eyeball. That's a, oh, yeah.
But after he does this, the prosthetic makeup, like, is so bad.
Yeah.
It just looks like a dead man is moving.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's a monster movie, and yeah, it's not the best. Yeah.
And then it's a cheap monster movie. I love how they get out of it by having him, like, he puts on sunglasses, and then he's back to regular Arnie face.
Yeah, that's right.
That's how you hide it. Good work, everyone. But it's, I don't know why they chose such a close-up on that face. Like, it's like,
yeah,
the whole screen is just full of fake face. Like, there is,
yeah,
they really shouldn't have done it that way. It reminds me of Rogue One, right? Where, like, they create, like, CGI people, but spend way too much time focusing on the CGI people. It's like, just pull back. Just reflections, totally fine. So she's looking in a mirror, right? Just, like, do the shot over his shoulder in the mirror. Like, I know you're super proud of yourself, but it can't have looked good even then. Like, I can't imagine it did.
Feels like a shot from a horror movie where there's like the guy who did the fake blood and the fake skin is like, it's so cool, look at that fake blood, and they're like, all right, I'll put a shot of your fake blood in the movie.
Yeah,
but it's not that great. But so he goes to the police station, and yep, we get that line that you've been looking for,
I'll be back, because yeah, he sizes up the wall and then just drives a car through it, which is great.
Yeah, see, this is the thing, is I knew the line before I'd seen this movie, right? And when it comes, I just started laughing because it's really funny, right? It's like, you know, sir, you know, you're a visitor, we got a lot going on here. And he just says, I'll be back. And he leaves and drives a car right through the police station. It's like, he's back. He kept his promise. It's just the brutality of it and how he's just like, I'll be back. Yep. Mm-hmm. There's a reason that is a catchphrase. That is a great moment.
He then makes short work of the police force. Just massacre.
Yes.
Like, absolutely.
We got 30
massacre.
Guys here. Yep. He just kills all the cops. Yeah.
Every single one of them, doesn't even care. No one even gets close to him. He just destroys them. Like, I love it. Like, a couple of times he's like doing stuff and taking bullets. It's like, oh, man. Ugh. Like, that's all it is. Like, ah, oh, this is frustrating. And it just kills everybody.
Yeah.
But Sarah and Reese, they escape.
Yes. With the help of a very fast synthesizer running in the background.
I do wonder why the cyborg can't run faster.
I think it's a trade-off, right? To do you want the I don't know. I've got some headcanon I could give you about how that they built this cyborg to be shaped like Arnold Schwarzenegger because they went for speed. They went for strength over speed, or perhaps the size of the metal casing is so great that they just can't, you know, they have to have a beefy skin to put on him because they just it's obviously not built for speed. It's
if
not
the beefy
a running
skin is
Terminator.
Slowing him down. He should just rip the leg skin off.
No,
and just
but
run I, after
what
him.
I'm saying is the skin is covering the big metal exoskeleton.
Okay, so it's the weight of the exoskeleton.
They don't make Terminators in small.
Okay.
Or speedy. He's also metal that's really heavy. So
yeah,
that's what I say about it. This is not he's not meant to need to run, right? He can just kill everybody. I think that's the idea.
So then there's like a scene with like kind of Kyle Reese and Sarah, kind of they're kind of getting close to each other, telling more stories, just explaining more about kind of like how all of this happened, why he was the one who came back, like, you know, all that sort of stuff. He doesn't know the full right. story yet. We find that out later, but like there's like a flashback scene and he has a picture of her and all that sort of stuff. And it's
yeah.
you can see
so
there's going to be romance.
Yeah, your son had a picture of you. This is a little time travel business, right? Your son had a picture of you. You were young like you are now, but you seemed so sad. And this is your romantic, kind of like romantic moment mm-hmm. here that happens between them.
But we'll pause that for just 1 second.
Yes.
Because they're in a hotel room, right? They're in mm-hmm. they're in a motel room. They're kind of holed up there. They've got a dog that they've got outside because dogs can detect the cyborgs.
Terminators. Mm-hmm. Who knew?
Just whatever.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Well, it's creepy. Yeah. Earlier, you see Arnold walking and there's dogs barking everywhere. Yeah. It's like, all right, that's
kind of like
a
that.
Clue.
It's like that's a cool thing. At the hotel, Reese is going to go out to get supplies. He gives Sarah a handgun.
Mm-hmm.
No point. Why does he do that?
I don't know.
At this point,
we know that you can't kill
a shotgun
the Terminator
can't
with
stop
it.
Him.
Yeah, yeah.
Why does
you're
she?
Right.
Why does he give her a handgun? Why does
know.
He even have one? It's pointless.
I don't know, man.
Like
yeah.
this is like part of like. I see these things immediately when I watch them, and I just wonder how it got in the movie.
Yeah, you're right. It's action movie trope, right? Like, instead, it should be like, can you give me a gun or something? And have him say, what would be the point if he finds you a gun's not going to stop him, right? Yep. And that's, instead it's like, sure, have a gun.
It stay here. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, no, it's like action movie. It's a stock action movie moment, and that's why it's in there.
Yep. Then I really like this part where she's on the phone to her mom. Her mom's in a cabin. Mm-hmm. And like her mom's like, why don't you come here? It's like, no, I'm in the place. Like, why won't you tell me where I am? And like she explains where she is. And Terminator's just gone and found the mom, killed the mom, and is doing the voice changing thing.
Yep.
Thought that was pretty cool. I like that.
And that's one of those things. I mean, Terminator 2 in many ways is a remake of this with a twist, because so few people saw this compared to Terminator 2. But
right.
That's an effective scene that is doubled in Terminator 2. It's yeah, he's gone to the parents and has used her mother's voice to impersonate her mother and get the information.
So yeah, there's a romantic tie beginning between the two of them, which culminates in an extremely extensive, over the top, and unnecessary sex scene. Like,
yep,
what the hell?
Yep, all the things.
Everything.
This movie dumped in all the things.
It came out of nowhere. And it was lasted for way longer than I expected, and there was way more detail to it all.
Yeah.
And look, I know what they're trying to do, but it's not needed, right? Like, they did this because they want to set up the fact that Reese is the dad. But you never needed to see this.
I feel like they're like, it's a rated R movie, we're going to get away with it because it's a rated R movie, so let's put it in. Let's give people some of this too. But
yeah,
the 80s was a weird time. Also, Michael Biehn, and I had a debate with this with Erica Ensign on The Incomparable about it, because she thinks he's dreamy. And I just think he is a not particularly charismatic kind of blank. And mm-hmm. I kept thinking that this relationship might have been more effective if there was an actor who was a little more charismatic. But she said, no, absolutely not. So... you know, your mileage may vary.
It's not the relationship that I have an issue with. It is the extensiveness of this scene.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I get it. I wanted to take my shot at Michael Biehn when I could.
I think he's
kind of boring. But yeah, it is extensive.
I do totally not buy that she falls in love with him like this. Like, I don't get it. I mean, maybe it's because she's just looking up to him because he saved her life, right? Like, and that's kind of swept her up in the whole thing. I can totally see that. But it's... like, as well, like, she mentions, like, at the end of the movie, like, we had a lifetime of love in the few hours we were together. I didn't see this happening.
No.
When did this happen?
No, they had one conversation under, like, an underpass, and then they went to the hotel room, and then that was it. Yeah. Yeah, well, Jay, you know, yeah. There's shorthand here, but we're asked to believe that in between all the scenes we saw, amazing things happen that we didn't see, which happens in a lot of movies, and it's definitely true in this one, where, you know, the movie is really banking on you kind of going from point A to point B and believing that there was stuff that connected them in the middle. And if you can believe it, then it works for you. But if you leave that gap, it's too wide a gap, then it won't work for you. And I agree here. It doesn't seem... they kind of overdo it with the you know, lifetime of love thing. I mean, I would actually understand it more if it was more like they're on the run, you know, they just barely escape with their lives. They are together. They're two young, attractive people. They have sex. And then, you know, later it's like, well, he was a great guy. He saved my life. We shared a moment and now I have a baby. But that's not what she says. Yeah. It's this lifetime of love thing. It's like, what? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's like they're adding romance in a way that doesn't comport with the like what they've shown. It just it's really strange.
Yeah. Now, the 80s was a weird time. I think maybe also there's the idea that they want to, since these are our heroes, they want to have it be that it was an act of love that created John Connor, when, you know, the performances and scenes don't really show it being an act of love per se. They're like, look, we're just going to go with it. We need to do that. We need to have it be meaningful, because otherwise it's just sex in a hotel, sex in a motel somewhere. It's like, that's not enough.
That's what I was trying to get at. Like, I understand that, but the wholesomeness of doing that doesn't comport with the graphicness of the sex scene.
I know. It's weird.
This
it's
is what like, I can't like, wrap again, my head around it.
It's yeah. You're not wrong.
So then there's another car chase. Reese is hurt in this car chase a little bit.
Yeah.
And then they crash a car. Car flips over. They're getting away. And the Terminator commandeers a fuel truck.
Yeah.
Which cannot outrun a human, turns out, that Sarah Connor can run faster than this truck can drive. Doesn't matter how long this chase is running on for. Like, we're looking at a good couple of minutes that she, or, you know, like in real time that she is outrunning this truck. Just doesn't make any sense. Like, they're going down a straight road at one point. At one point, he's coming down a hill and he cannot get to speed to catch her. And also, as well, so they've created bombs earlier.
He doesn't know how to drive a truck. He's got the gears in the wrong gears.
No, because he scans it, which I thought was pretty cool, right? Like, he scans it and can instantly understand how to operate the machine, which I did quite like. I was like, yeah, look, you took time to fill that plot hole. and then they make bombs earlier in the movie. Reese throws a bomb into a hole in the back of the gas truck so it will explode. He jumps into a dumpster to protect himself from the explosion, but just doesn't give any warning to Sarah, who's like in front of the thing running. It's like, thanks, dude. Like, you just go protect yourself. the truck nice explosion, explodes. Though. Great explosion. And I love all the fire scenes, right? Like him being on fire, and that all looked really good. I bought all of that, but there we get terrible stop motion robot Terminator.
Yeah, it's a Ray Harryhausen style King Kong, you know, stop motion robot.
I don't know why they did this, because they have scenes where they've got like an animatronic, right, from the shoulder up. They should have just used that all the time. All of the stop motion stuff, it looks ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it's a case of they wanted to have that full on robot, and so they do the stop motion version, and it didn't turn out maybe like they hoped, but that was what they had to use, so they used it. But it's really dated. Yeah,
I feel like they could have just gone like Kermit the Frog with it and just like shown torso and then moving legs, you know, like just shots of that, like, because
done like a lower leg puppet and then the upper leg animatronic and just not even. Yeah,
because
or have it be very brief of like a cutaway and then
and
cut
green
back,
screen but. Technology is not good enough, right? At this point in time,
it's
when
tough.
they're closing the door and it's like a clear green screen, like it's not very good.
Yeah,
but you know, there's like this big fight and he puts another bomb into the rib cage of the Terminator and explodes. And
are they in the factory now? Or is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
okay. So I like a lot of things in the factory. I mean, I think it's very
good action scenes here.
The action stuff here is really good as it builds to the climax here. In the factory, there's a funny moment, you know, that it's a robotic factory, which I really like, because it's like the Terminator walks into the robotic factory and it's like, hey, it's my people. Here they are. Hey, guys.
Yeah, he said something here about why turning the robots on would help, and I couldn't catch it.
Yeah.
He said something about like, it will mean that they can't track us or something?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, so they're in the robot factory and then he sticks a bomb in the Terminator. Hmm. Boom.
Yeah, and it blows the Terminator up, kills Kyle Reese, right? Like, kills him.
Yeah, Sarah's wounded and Kyle is dead, yeah.
But the Terminator will not stop.
It's a horror movie, right? It's a horror movie monster. So the Terminator, even with all of that, the Terminator has been blown apart but is not dead. It's still got its kind of upper body.
Yeah, and also Sarah is injured, like she's hurt her leg, like her leg has been pierced in one of the explosions. She got out completely unscathed from the gas truck exploding.
But so you get that another classic suspense thing here, where she is slowed, but the Terminator is also slowed because it's just parts of the Terminator now.
Yep.
So she's crawling away and it's crawling to get her.
Yeah, and then she like pulls down this grate and it gets its arm through and then he kills her with the arm, but... then she presses a button on basically the tunnel they just crawled through is a machine.
It's a hydraulic press
that
they've crawled through, and now she crushes him and says, "You're terminated."
Yeah, terminated, and that got him. That's it. Then we kind of flash forward in time, and Sarah is on the road.
She's in Mexico,
She's recording tapes of her thoughts to her unborn baby. You can see she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And she stops at a gas station. A child takes a photo of her, which she has to pay $4 to get it, right? And she's like, oh, great hustle. And this is the photo that it will be left for the baby to give to Kyle Reese in the future.
Yep.
Right? And I like here that they actually address the timeline, which I quite like that, actually. Where, like, she addresses that everything has to happen for it to happen.
Yeah.
Which is something is usually glossed over in a lot of time travel movies, right? But they actually address the timeline. Like, that it all makes sense within that. And I thought, okay, good. I'm pleased that you did that. And then, oh, God. There's a storm coming.
There's a storm coming.
I know. Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Really? Like, it's not a storm, you know? It wasn't a storm that sent all these robots crazy.
They don't like the weather. They don't like the wind. Wind makes robots very angry. Yeah. The Terminator. Can you see why people liked this movie? Like, the action. I mean, this is I'll say this too. If you think about Schwarzenegger 80s action movies, like, this is viewed as an action movie. It's like, oh, this has a lot more than your usual action movie or your usual monster movie. It's got the extra time travel twist and the fact that he's a relentless, not vampire or zombie or something, but he's a cyborg. Like, viewed in the context of kind of crappy 80s action movies, which Arnold Schwarzenegger made a lot of, along with Sylvester Stallone and a bunch of other people. I think this movie comes out as being a standout, but viewed from another perspective, it is, you know, it is what it is. It is a product of that genre.
Yeah, that for me, it's just the special effects are bad, but I can excuse them.
Yeah, no, the action's good and the special effects are bad. The music is bad. Yeah.
And the just the common sense holes, like, they just really frustrate me because some of them just feel so simple, namely, the speed in which Arnie can travel to places but can't run
right
fast enough to catch anybody on foot.
That's horror movie logic.
Yeah. I know this is all horror movie stuff, right? But this isn't a horror movie. Like, I know there are horror movie tropes in it, but, like, I'm less willing to accept it because an action movie and action movies tend to be based more on reality. And also, there is no mystical. You know, like, with monsters in horror movies, there is a, you know, like, oh, what is powering this monster? Is there magic involved? But, like, we know that's not the case because we know this is a cyborg. Like, we know what Terminator is. Like, it's explained to us clearly, like, what this thing is and what it's capable of. There are just things in it that I just didn't like. And the action scenes were good, but they weren't really good enough. The relationships between everybody is just weird in a way that doesn't make sense. Hmm. This movie didn't float my boat.
Fair enough. I think it's good to have seen it, and there's some fun things in it. It is dated. It launched a huge franchise, so I think that alone makes it worth seeing.
I totally can see how Terminator 2 is better than Terminator.
And we should watch that at some point, because it is a movie that is, in most ways, maybe not all, but in most ways, maybe all, actually, superior to this one. But I think it is good to have seen this because there are payoffs in Terminator 2 in 1991, you know, 7 years later, that really work better when you know, just seeing Sarah in Terminator 2, you're like, oh my God, right? Like, she is completely different than the soft diner waitress that we meet here. And so seeing them in succession, there's those payoffs, and Come With Me If You Want to Live, the fact that that Terminator is sent back to protect John Connor. So Arnold Schwarzenegger goes from being the villain in this movie to the hero in the next movie.
Yeah.
Is a brilliant twist on it. But again, I feel like it plays better if you can see where it starts and then see the twist. So for these reasons, I think it's kind of required viewing, or at least it helps a lot. But yeah, it's not a movie I revisit a lot. It was fun to revisit it, but it's not a movie that I consider essential in any other way. But now you're literate on it. Now people can talk about the Terminator and they'll say something and you'll be like, actually, I think that was Terminator 2 because I just saw the Terminator. I can tell you what's in that one. Is it techno music? Is it, you know, electronic music from
techno noir come back?
1982? Did tech noir? Yeah. Tech noir, I don't believe, reappears. Sorry.
When we open a nightclub, me and you, when we're done with this podcast game.
Mike and Jason's tech noir?
Yep. That's what we'll call it.